You know the name Bob Woodward. He has been a major force in American journalism for more than three decades now, going back to the All the President's Men days. His most recent book, State of Denial, was the third book he had written about this White House and this war. And he is in town tonight to give a speech and meet and greet at SLU in the Bush Student Center on North Grand tonight at 7 o'clock. He's sitting in a hotel room right now and has a few minutes to join us here live on KMOX. Hi, Bob. How are you?
Real well.
After three books, how's your access at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue?
Well, if the Washington Post gives me time to work on these things, so you can talk to all kinds of people at the lower and mid-level and pretty much get the story. So I have found people respond. For this last book, the president declined to be interviewed, but that's because I had material which kind of flatly contradicted lots of things he'd said publicly, and I don't think there's much he could say about it, so he declined to be interviewed.
But the Marine guards don't stop you at the gate every time you try to get onto the grounds?
They don't, so far.
Well, that's good. We hear a lot and have heard a lot for these 4 years of the war about the president saying, I'm going to listen to my generals. Does he listen to his generals?
Well, I think he listens to his generals, but as I show in this book, there is a culture in the military which is, don't visit your personal hell on your boss. So if you've got a problem, the bad news and the difficulties don't get transmitted to the top. And generals tend to be optimistic. There is this attitude, we can win against any obstacle. But it's been 4 years of growing obstacles and 4 years in which the conditions have become worse. The number of daily attacks in Iraq last year reached about four an hour. Now, that's not a week or a month. That's four every hour of every day. Went up to about seven an hour. I don't have the latest data, but you see it on television and you hear it in the numbers, and it's a nightmare.
I was talking to other reporters about the impact this has on the troops, the media coverage of the damage that goes on in Iraq. Some people who are supporters of the president say the media only tells the bad side of this. Tell me about the effect the media coverage has inside the White House from the people you talk to there.
Well, of course, they don't like it, and they think that there is good news, and there is occasionally good news, but it's somewhat, unfortunately, like the skipper of the Titanic saying, well, wasn't the shuffleboard game great? You have to focus on the large issue here, and the large issue is we have not solved the problem of a sectarian violence that is off the charts, and a Sunni insurgency which is regularly and with more sophistication attacking our troops. Our troops are caught in a sectarian crossfire, and whether you call it a civil war or not, it is some sort of violent revolution which puts them in great jeopardy. You ask a good question about the morale of the troops. They deserve everything that this country has to offer, and the first thing they're entitled to is the truth about what's going on. We're strong enough. We can face the truth. This is not something to sugarcoat. There is a resilience and determination that those troops have, which is remarkable, and we all owe them everything that we can. I think one of the things that we owe them is some sort of political consensus, so people would start, including the Republicans and Democrats, say we can't use this as a political football to kick around, that we have to sit down, lock ourselves in a room, the president and the leaders in the House and the Senate, the Democrats, and say, let's see if we can come up with some agreement. Maybe it can't be done, but they certainly ought to try.
You use the word determination there. The president has shown for all these years a lot of determination that what he wants to accomplish there is the right thing to try to accomplish. Is there division in the White House, differences of opinion about that, and does it affect anything that goes on?
Well, the White House is a giant place with lots of people, and there are people who are really concerned. But he is determined. He persists. And he persists. I mean, you have to give him credit for this. He believes it's the right thing and essentially believes you can't do the right thing on a timeline. You just have to keep going at it.
But there's no doubt about strategy?
Oh, well, there's a lot of doubt about strategy. And it's something, as I show in this book, for years they really didn't have a strategy. I mean, the president announced this clear hold and build strategy of going into areas in Iraq, clearing out the insurgents, holding it, and building some sort of community or civilization, if you will. When I interviewed Rumsfeld, because I had found out he disagreed with that strategy, he confirmed to me last summer, that that was not the strategy, that they weren't doing it and couldn't.
It's Paul Harris on News Talk 1120 KMOX, talking with Bob Woodward, his latest book, State of Denial, Bush at War, Part 3. Compare for me the new Defense Secretary, Bob Gates, against the man he replaced, Donald Rumsfeld.
Well, that's a good question. We haven't seen, you know, Gates got thrown into the storm, to say the least. And I think he's trying to get his bearings, and he's an intelligence expert. He was head of the CIA for a while, had his career in the CIA, and so I think he's trying to get facts. And you can't learn the whole story of what's going on in Iraq in a matter of weeks or even months. So I suspect we're going to hear more from him. He's cautious. He has said we're not going to war in Iran, and he's been pretty emphatic about that.
He certainly seems to have been pretty proactive over the Walter Reed story.
He has, rightly so. I mean, that is an unforgivable situation.
And I think Dana Priest and Ann Hull of your staff deserve a lot of credit for bringing this to the light so that the diplomats and bureaucrats in Washington can start paying attention to these guys who are in these outpatient facilities.
Indeed. They deserve immense credit. They did a great job. It was one of those classic reporting stories of working from the ground up and on the scene.
I talked to Richard Engel from MSNBC, who's, of course, been in Baghdad for mm-hmm. more than the 4 years of the war now.
Amazing coverage. I mean, it seems like he was born there.
Yeah, he's remarkable. I asked him the question that most Americans ask, and certainly one that I've been asking, and that is, why aren't the Iraqis stepping up to take control of the country? And he jumped right in and said, that's exactly what they're trying to do. They're trying to take control, but from two different sides. You got the Sunni trying to take control, and you got the Shia trying to take control. And I didn't have a chance to discuss this with him, so I'll ask you. If that's the case, and you could tell me whether you agree. Okay, so if that's the case, how do we ever get a unified Iraq to move forward in the vision of anybody?
Well, that's the problem with civil war. I mean, if you have to let people fight it out, almost. You can't. I mean, the passions in the history run so deep, there's not a fix where somebody can go in and sit around a table. Somebody told me that the leaders of the Shia government in Iraq, and it is largely a Shia government, somebody said their idea of good government is killing Sunnis. That's kind of, and I thought, and this was somebody who knows, who has been there for a long time, and that is, you know, if you essentially got the government engaged in an internal war, which we do, it's not something you can go in and say, hey guys, let's settle this.
So what is the White House's answer to how to settle that?
The surge. Send more troops in, develop a new strategy. They now talk about clear and hold. The build part apparently has been put on the back burner. And you know, you on one level or on maybe every level, you want it to work, but there is a practical reality. And what I found, sadly, in my reporting on this, that the normal response, the strategy really is to deny reality. And that doesn't work in anything you do, and it particularly doesn't work in a war or an extremely violent civil war.
Let me ask you about the other end of Pennsylvania Avenue. The Democrats were swept into power in November by an electorate that seemed to be sending the single message, we want out of Iraq. And yet the Democrats haven't been able to do anything except argue about some non-binding resolutions to this point. How effective can they be in doing what the American people seem to have been saying they want to have done?
Well, under the Constitution, the president's commander-in-chief, and so he decides how to employ the forces. The Congress can cut off funding, but I don't think they're going to be able to do that, and I'm not sure it's a wise course. I mean, imagine you're a sergeant out there in the desert, and you read on the internet, listen to the radio or whatever, and hear that the Republicans have one strategy, the Democrats have another, and the sergeant in the desert says, hey, wait a minute, I was sent by the country, not Democrats or Republicans, both.
Mm-hmm.
The Republican president and the Congress voted 3-1 back in 2002 to give Bush a blank check in an Iraq war. So what I find surprising is there's not some effort to work out a consensus for the sake of the country and the troops.
But that consensus would probably mean the Democrats not being able to live up to their promise.
Well, I don't know. You know, it's do something. It's better to move an inch down the road than get nowhere or go backwards. And no, this is complex, and it's perplexing to people. And I find, I just came from Louisville giving a speech about this same subject, and people are on fire. People are really worried, and they should be worried, because it's the most important thing going on in the world now, and the political system is not stepping up to the plate and coming up with some sort of consensus solution. You know, you never get everything you want, and even though the president is commander-in-chief, it's clear what the public thinks, it's clear what a lot of experts think about this, and it's clear what the Democrats think, and he's got to put his listening cap on.
But it'll be interesting next year for the next presidential election if the Democrats have promised something in this congressional election that they have not been able to deliver on by 2008.
Well, the Democrats, as always, never speak with one voice. what did they promise? I mean, a lot of them said, we're going to do something, and we're going to try to do something, but you can't rewrite the Constitution unilaterally.
Yeah, but I think the inference from the American public was the Democrats in means us out of Iraq. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, but when and how, and
yeah.
As lots of people say, we can't just pull out instantly, because then we would leave even a more chaotic situation, presumably.
So you go ahead.
It's a hot topic,
yeah,
and it's something I've spent the last years of my life on trying to understand and try to sort out and present people with real facts, not some series of facts that come through a partisan prism, whether it's Republican or Democrat.
Yeah, well, you told the story very well in these three books, and now there are 22 months left in the Bush presidency, and it's certainly at least that much left in the war. Will there be Bush at War Part 4?
Yes, that's what I'm working on.
Tonight, Bob Woodward will be speaking in the Bush Student Center over on North Grand Boulevard on the SLU campus. 7 o'clock tonight, the event is free and open to the public, and he'll do a little Q&A session towards the end of that as well. Thank you so much for your time this afternoon.
Thank you.
Bob Woodward here on the Paul Harris Show on News Talk 1120 KMOX.